The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Tonight's topic is overcoming hindrances to joy. Overcoming hindrances to joy. God's servant has taught us about joy, different type of joy, how to assess joy, and more importantly, to retain it, because actually spoken how to retain joy. Praise the Lord. And through all these teachings in the past week, we have established that joy is an essential requirement for a fulfilling and enjoyable life. To live a fulfilled life, an enjoyable life, joy is essential. You know, do you know that life is to be enjoyed? You know, that popular scripture, John chapter 10, verse 10, says, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy." And one day when I read it in Amplified version, the Amplified version actually said, "The thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to kill." But he said, "But I have come that you may have and enjoy life." So the life that God gives you, he wants to enjoy it. And then one of the principal requirements to enjoy this life is joy. Somebody shouts joy. Again, say joy. This is very important because the more joyful you are, the more fruitful your life will be. The Bible says, out of the well of salvation will you draw water. Out of the well of salvation. You see, joy is so essential to be fruitful. Any man who is full of sadness, who is not joyful, whatever it is that you commit to their hand will die. It's just a matter of time. Because they've been poisoned. They've been poisoned. But you see, a man with joy, anything can become big in their hand. They can be fruitful. You know, the Bible is full of examples that joy actually brings fruitfulness. Because you see, Hannah always appeared in Shiloh, frowning, you know, dejected, feel as if she was abandoned, you know. Sadness all over. But on the day she believed the word of the prophet, and the prophet said, okay, go home. She left like that with joy. The Bible made us understand that she go home rejoicing. And as we went home rejoicing, God answered our prayers. So we can also conclude that it's the absence of joy that made her to be fruitless. But the presence of joy caused her to be fruitful. No one will be barren in this house in the name of Jesus. No one will be fruitfulness in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything that God gave man, everything that God gave man needs protection and preservation. Everything that God gives you need to be protected and be preserved. Everything that God gives you, it needs to be protected and it needs to be preserved. And your joy is not an exception. You must ensure that you protect your joy consistently. Consistently, ensure that you protect your joy. Why did Adam lost the privilege of staying in Eden? It's because what God has given him, he could not preserve. He could not protect. And because he couldn't protect things that God has given him, he lost it to the devil. Oh, only God knows how many people who have lost their joy to the devil. Because they don't know how to preserve it. They don't know how to keep it. They don't know how to protect it. But tonight, you will be able to protect and preserve everything that God has given you in the name of Jesus. It is why in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says that let Satan take advantage of you, for we are not ignorant of his device. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Satan is a thief, and he wants to steal your joy, but he will not be able to steal your joy in the name of Jesus. So tonight we are looking at hindrances to joy. Hindrances to joy. Number one, hindrances to joy is negative reports. I mean, this When we talk of hindrances, we talk of blockage, things that restrict, things that prevent. We are talking of obstacles, restrictions, things that deny you access. And negative report is one of the things that hinder the joy. Every one of us, God has given us joy. And you see, that joy, we can win with that joy. But we have to ensure that we preserve this joy from receiving negative news into our hearts. Because there is no how, you cannot mix joy with negativities in your heart. It will not work. One will have to give way for the other. So negative report is so dangerous. And if you want to keep your joy, you must avoid negative reports or negative news. Now everybody is a broadcaster. Because the social media has made all of us a newscasters, all of us a reporter. Because on your page, you are live, you are reporting. And you see, when you look at all the news flying around, whether on the traditional media or the new media, you see that at least 90% of this, of the news, are negative. They are bad news. So thousands of people were killed. Thousands of people were killed. So everywhere. Now you log into your Facebook, you scroll, begin to see people, slaughter them, see somebody whose government treats unfairly, see somebody who's crying of loss of something or the other, you see accident, you see all like that. So much so that you can't even recognize good news. Somebody is sharing good news or inspiring word, it doesn't make sense to you. Because there's an abundance of negative news. You tune into your radio, it's all the same. You switch off your TV, it's all the same. You bought newspaper, it's all the same. Bad news, negative news. Why it will not work? Why if you start business, it will not prosper? Why this thing? Why you will not graduate at the time you want to graduate? Why all of this? Negative news. And by the time you take all of that in, the joy is tampered with. Somebody newly married, and then you open the newspaper or turn on your TV or your TV and begin to say, oh, so person, you say this divorce. That marriage is just three months. A marriage of 40 something years, divorce like that. What do you that news enter into your heart. Then you look at your marriage, when am I going to, or how am I going to survive? Somebody even thinking, Akukuma marry. But you see, child of God that know the importance of joy never subscribe to bad news. Never subscribe to bad news. We receive good news. And because you see, life is all about choices. I wish you can understand it, that life is all about choices. You can decide to choose which news you will believe. You can decide to choose which report you believe. Maybe you have sickness in your body and you go, maybe you are feeling somehow, then you go to the hospital and they say, oh, we have to run some scan, we have to run some tests, and they did it, report came, say, oh, you have this, you have that, somebody that have this will die in the next 3 years, we're going to like this, if you don't do this operation in the next 24 hours, you may die. Now, you can decide to choose which report you believe, because the Bible says that which report will you believe? Is it the one the world is telling you, or the world that the world has documented for you? Life is about choices, and the choice you make will determine your end point. So therefore, as you and I, we need, as a child of God, we need to make sure that we make choices for good news and embrace only good news. You know, if you praise the Lord. You know, so many years ago, I think much younger, as a teenager, my dad liked to listen to VOA, Voice of America, every morning, 4 a.m. So after he listened to the news, we start our morning devotion. But he doesn't miss it. 4 o'clock, is it 4 o'clock or 4:30 a.m.? VOA, Voice of America. And you see, as I was listening, I discovered that some of those news that is coming in is all about bad news about Africa, bad news about Nigeria, and you know. So one day, I couldn't face him to tell him that, sir, Emma, listen, see, I'm okay, never, Emma. So what I did, I went to hide it, the small radio that they used to listen to the news. So I hide it. After morning devotion, I will release it. So one day, he was looking for it. I said, sir, because he loved listening to news, you know. But I discovered most of those news are bad news. And the more I listen to it, the more fears comes to my heart. The more fear comes into my heart. News. For some of us who are fond of Iriaye, you want to listen to Iriaye, and they've done it so well that it's always in the night. I don't know the devil that programmed that program to come on here in the night. And then they'll be praising all sorts of scary sound. All sorts of scary sound. I wonder why some people can sit down and listen to such news. And they will listen to all of that. And then they begin to ask questions. Why they're always having bad dreams in the night? Why will you not have bad dreams in the night? Why will you not? Oh, Aroye, is what you are listening to. That Aroye stuff, I don't even know Aroye that is there. Because almost everything there is negative news. Everything. Refuse to accept negative news from anybody. Refuse to accept any negative news from anybody. And how to handle negative reports? How to handle negative reports? Number one, or A, is reject it and cast them out immediately. Because sometimes we may not be able to control some news that comes to us. For example, you are in a place, maybe in a mall or in a big place, in an open place where music is being played or a report, or you are in a banking hall and you are seeing news, you may not be able to tell them to switch it off. But one thing you can do for yourself is to reject it and cast them out immediately. Don't allow it. If you discover that there is fear that grips your heart, know that that is an attack from the devil, then reject it immediately. Reject it immediately. You have your doctor give you a report. After you appreciate the doctor, go home and say, Lord, this is not my own report. I reject this. And that is what the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 5. It tells us to cast down the imaginations. So cast down, imagine every thought that rises itself against the knowledge of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Why is that important? Because, you see, imaginations, create an image in your heart. You know, everything you imagine is being created in the spirit. Everything you thought exists. Whatever you can think, it happens in the spirit. And as long as you dwell on those thoughts or dwell on those imaginations, it will come to reality. Because you attract it, you draw it from the spirit to the physical. It is why the Bible tells us to cast down every imaginations, every thought. Cast them out. So that is what you do. When you imagine something or you hear something and it's about getting to your heart, say, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. So we must ensure that you cast them out. Once it gets your heart, immediately reject it and cast them out. Number two, or B, how to handle negative report is fill your heart with positive thoughts. Always. Fill your heart with positive thoughts, always. And if it opens to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible gave us the kind of thoughts we should allow. Gave us the kind of thoughts we should allow to think about. And I love the way it started. It said, finally, brethren. If something is final, it's final. Praise the Lord. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things that are true. In fact, most of the time, some report that flies that we get sometimes doesn't even meet the first requirement, which is true. Most of the time, because you see bad news, you see negative news, scandals everywhere. They are not true. Some of them comes from the spirit of jealousy. Some of them come from the spirit of bitterness. So it's not true. So he said, whatever things that are true, whatever things that are honest, whatever things that are just, whatever things that are pure, whatever things that are lovely, whatever things that are of good report, can you see? If there be any virtue, said, if there be any virtue, said, think on these things. Praise the Lord. We must ensure that we dwell only on positive things. So deliberately fill your heart, and that is why you have your Bible. To fill your heart with the Bible, especially the epistles. Epistles shows you who you are in Christ, what you can do, what God has done for you through Christ. You deliberate, and you read books written by proven men of God. You read those books that condition your life for a life of joy and excitement. This is how to handle negative reports. If you hear anything that is contrary to good news, go back to the Bible and then let the Bible flush out. Whatever you are reading in the Bible, let it flush out and then take in the good news into your heart. I see somebody overcoming every negative news in the name of Jesus. No, before this year we end, you will not receive bad reports in the name of Jesus. And you will not send bad reports in the name of Jesus. Can you tell your neighbor, say, life is about choices. Again, say, life is about choices. Make the choice for good news today. So number two hindrances to joy is fear. Fear is one of the hindrances to joy, but the Bible made us to understand that God did not give us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. The Bible is so clear that fear is not of God. Say, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. So, if the spirit of fear is not from God, therefore it's from the devil. So, anything that has to do with fear is not from God, it's from the devil. When God speaks to you, his word imparts faith into your heart. But when devil speaks to you, it imparts fear into your heart. Any means of communication that God wants to use to communicate to you, whether through dream, through trance, through revelation, reading the Bible, the voice, still small voice, whatever means, it will communicate faith into your heart. There is peace and joy. But if it's of the devil, it's fear. It's fear that will communicate to you. Then when you know that this is fear, you know that it's from the devil and you reject it. Fear is nothing but false experiences appearing real, or false evidence appearing real. The F for fear is false. He is experiences or evidence. Why A is appearing and Haru is real. So there is a false evidence or false appearing. Something is happening, is about to happen, but it is false. Then it appears to you as if it's real. It appears to you as if it's real. We all know that fear is the opposite of faith. And we know that fear destroys faith. But today, somebody has been liberated from fear in the name of Jesus. Nothing destroys life than fear. No, I heard a story a very long time ago. Said there was an hunter who was going out. And was going out into the bush to go and hunt for animal. And on his way out, he met the devil on the way. And when he said, so where are you going? I said, I'm going to this village. He said, to do what? He said, I just want to go and kill just one person. I said, are you sure it's one person? The devil said, yes, it's one person. He said, make sure that it's one person that you kill. He said, okay. So the man left. By the time he comes back and he saw that many people have been killed. And I said, I met you on the way. You lied to me that it's only one person. And the devil wants to say, it's just one person that I kill. It's fear that killed others. So the fear that I'm coming, The fear that I'm coming, the fear that, oh, this person has died, is what killed all that. Fear destroyed faith. And, you know, in Job chapter 3, verse 25, Job made it so clear that the thing that I greatly fear, the thing that I greatly fear, you need to ask yourself, what are the things that you greatly fear? Are you fearful of losing your job, of losing your health, of losing your marriage, of losing your business? You need to watch it. Because devil will take advantage of any small opening to perform his operation. But in your life, it will fail in the name of Jesus. I said the devil will fail in your life in the name of Jesus. Your job as a child of God is to deliberately build your faith. I tell people that when you come into Christ, when you receive Christ in your heart, the next thing to do is to build your faith. Deliberately build your faith with the word of God. How does faith come? The Bible makes us understand. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You hear the word again, and you hear it again, and you hear it again. You hear it again and again and again and again until the faith is imparted. Why? Because faith comes through the word. No, Isaiah said, Ezekiel said, the spirit enter into me as he speak to me. So words is a conveyance of spirit. Everything you listen to, you know, fear and faith travels by a night wave. And then if care is not taken, one can miss it. And that is why whenever you are in church, you need to be sensitive, especially when the word of God is being taught. Because as the word comes, it comes to you wherever you are. It meets you on your position, on your state. We need to receive it into your heart. I'm saying that you need to deliberately build your faith. The building of your faith is your own responsibility. God just assigned his servant to help you to take steps. So it is why they call and tell you, teach you about faith, teach you about love, teach you about everything, so that you can go home and do the assignment on your home. And do the assignment on your home. Fear should be terminated immediately. In your life, I see fears, every form of fear being terminated tonight in the name of Jesus. So don't allow fear to destroy your joy, to hinder your joy. Fear of what will happen. Fear of tomorrow. Your tomorrow will be okay. But God's servant used to say something, you know, very frequently, sometimes ago. You say, you have a future and I believe in your future. You have a future and I believe in that future. That future of yours will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. I said that future shall be fulfilled in the mighty name of Jesus. Don't allow fear to tell you that there is no job. Who tells you that when you graduate, you will not get your own job? Who tells you that your business will not prosper? If you can tell me about one person that is successful in life, so why can't you? When I, you know, got admission into, you know, school, there's a lecturer that is very, you know, stubborn, and I have many people saying negative things, you know, fearful things. Oh, you don't pass. Oh, you fail. Oh, you did that. And I'll voice my faith. I said, me, I'll pass this. I will be the first to break the record. And to God be the glory, I did. I tell my people, I said, I can't fail. I mean, from the secondary school, I tell people, how can I write an exam and fail? I cannot fail. It's not possible. See, I can't fail. No exam with my own hand is not possible. I just believe it. I know it happens. It works for me. It worked for me. To the glory of God, I wrote how many plus entrance exam? That's 11 exams. And I did not fail one. In fact, there was one that also me that should have failed. But I used my faith with word, just like Papa did in his own time. So I said, Nibo, when I think God. And even the lecturer told me, he said, if there's anything I can do to fail you, I will have failed you. But there's nothing I can do. So, and that was the only time that I have 40-something. I think 45 or 48. That was the only time. I wasn't the most brilliant person in my school, but I didn't fail. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You will not fail in the name of Jesus. The days of having DDPPP is over in the name of Jesus. If your faith can carry it, you will not even have C in the name of Jesus. If your faith can carry it, take straight A's in the name of Jesus. Number three, entrances to joy is murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining. When you murmur, you complicate your destiny. Murmuring kills faith and it bats fear in your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, there is a strong warning to you and I. This scripture is very, very instructive. Because you see, sometimes you can be tempted to murmur or to complain, especially when things is not working around you. He said, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmur, and were destroyed of the destroyer. So it looks to me as if murmuring is an invitation for destruction. He said, don't murmur as they did, and the destroyer destroyed them. So murmuring invites destroyer to perform his job. Don't ever murmur. When you serve in the house of God, serve with joy. Serve with all of your heart. Serve with all of your strength. No murmur. Refuse to allow that and refuse to complain. You hear the story of God's servant. He has said it over and over again that the only time he sensed stagnation around him was when he was complaining and murmuring. Is it happens to many? Because I've seen some people, some few people, they were in the same spot, just maybe a little progress. Why? When you dig deep, you know that this is their problem. Murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining. Somebody is being liberated tonight in the name of Jesus. One of the things you must always ponder every day of your life is God's love, God's blessings, and God's favor upon you. If you can do that, you will not have time for complaining. You will not see things that God has not done. You know, Pastor Samson was sharing a testimony here on Sunday, and he said, I even thank God that I have a hand that I can close boot on. I thank God that I can feel pain. Are you aware that some people, they cannot feel pains? They can't feel pains. Inflict them with pain, they can't feel it. I used to know of a man, when it is cold, that is when he'll be feeling heat. And when everywhere is being heat, that is when he'll be feeling cold, looking for something to put on. And everybody say, why is everywhere hot like this? His problem is cold. There is nothing that you and I have that is something that we deserve. Everything you have is a privilege. It's a privilege. Okay, tell me one good thing that you earned. What exactly did you earn? I deserve this. In all of God's blessing, tell me just one thing. Nothing. So there's nothing we can be proud of on our own. It's a privilege. And we must recognize that and return praise to God. We must recognize that I refuse to be murmuring, especially when it seems as if things is not going. Hear this. When things is not going in the directions that you think it should go, it is not God. God is not the problem. It's either you are the problem or the devil is the problem. So first check yourself. And then ask the devil, why are you doing this to me? But it's not God. God, he said, I know the thought that I have towards you. He said, the thought of good and not evil. So bad things doesn't come from God. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that the path of the just is like a shining eye that shines brighter and brighter on the perfect day. That path of the just or path of the righteous is joy, is progress, is favor, is increase, is success, is breakthrough, is victory. So whatever, if you are treading that path, whatever that is contrary to that, it's not from God. Probably you deviated from that path. So you need to first of all check yourself. What is it? Oh, has God given me some instructions that I refuse to follow? And if you can't find anything, then you go to the devil and say, I was sleeping when you came, but now I'm awake. Release everything that is in your hand to me. Leave me and let me go. Praise the Lord. And it will do, because the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Praise the Lord. So refuse to murmur. Refuse to complain. Rather, continue to appreciate God. All those who are complaining during the Israelite journey, all of them perish before arriving at their destination. You will not perish before you get to your destination in the name of Jesus. Number 14 that hinders joy is discontentment. Discontentment. A discontent person will never be joyful. A discontent person will never be joyful. I used to have an auntie. The day she eat food with two meat. If you allow that, you will hate yourself. Because when what kind of sufferness is this? What kind of sufferness is this? I cannot even eat. Honestly, you hate yourself being with two meat. When she wants to eat, you see meat everywhere. And if it's remain just two meat in the pot, she'll be doing it to eat it, and she will still complain. So discontent. Give her money. Once you say thank you, you will think it's okay. By the time you come again, so it's only 1,000 you can give me. Praise the Lord. Discontentment. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. The Bible is very clear. It said, but godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. So why will you throw away great gain for something else? He said, godliness with contentment. So, godliness and contentment marry each other. If you are a godly person, you need to also marry contentment. Contentment, appreciate things that God has. Where you are today, do you realize that where you are today is somebody's prayer point? Where you are today, in fact, it was your prayer point some years ago. You were praying to enter university some years ago. Can I hear a witness in the house? So now you are in a school. Now, why are you complaining? Why are you discontent with your course? Why are you discontent with your natural? Why are you discontent with the person sitting next to you? Why are you discontent with your neighbor? Why are you discontent with your roommate? Why are you discontent with coming to a Lord? Better by far. If I have known, I should have gone to Syria, not better by far. But it was your prayer request sometimes ago. Discontentment. That your wife that look as if is not up to the standard or is not doing things like. Sometimes ago you were pursuing her, sending text messages, sending somebody. I remember, please talk to her now. Praise the Lord. It was as if the whole world will crumble if you don't marry. If I don't marry you, I will die. Now you marry her, everything, and you're discontent. The food you eat with joy, say, please don't be annoying that there is too much salt. Don't worry. You eat everything. But now that your heart is set, you don't even know how to cook. Praise the Lord. We just have to embrace contentment if you want to enjoy peace. Peace. If you want peace, subscribe to contentment. Appreciate God. He knows that you want to be better. He knows that you want to change levels. But accept what he has given you and thank him for it. Hallelujah. Number 5, hindrances to our joy is comparison. Comparison, when we begin to compare ourselves to others. This is very striking. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Some years ago, I read this scripture as a teenager, and it changes my life forever. I don't compare myself with anybody. And that is why, you see, Pastor will always say that we are not in competition with any ministry. We are not in competition with anybody. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Comparing yourself with others can make you sad and unhappy. Every time you compare, you see, there will be people who is always better than you, and there will be people that you better than. That is that. Life is not balanced. You know, I was talking to somebody. He said, life will go balance at all. I said, do you expect it to balance? If life is balanced, you will not need to progress. Because if something is on a scale, and maybe it's horizontal, and it's okay, so why will you want to move? But you are content. You will not move. Say, for we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they that measuring or comparing themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not what? Say, I am wise. I will not compare myself with others. So, a wise person don't compare themselves with others. They may appreciate others. They may wish that, they can be better, but they don't compare themselves with others. Because, see, when you compare yourself with others, you feel that there is injustice. And in this kingdom, there is no injustice. Praise the Lord. I want to appeal to you to please stop comparing yourself with others. If you desire joy, stop comparing yourself with others. Praise the Lord. And lastly, is the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness is one of the greatest hindrances to joy. Heaviness is a spirit that seeks to hold down or pin down our joy and gladness. Heaviness. That is a spirit that moved. That is a spirit that seeks to attack people. The spirit of heaviness is what is responsible for depression. The spirit of heaviness. You know, a God servant, Paul Yonggi Cho, said a story in one of his books. He said, sometimes ago, he was praying. And then he said, if we just feel as if he was so heavy, he feels so heavy that, he feels like something is happening, but he couldn't understand. But one day, as he was praying, God opened his eyes, and he saw that there are many demons, many spirits that are all over him. So, and because that the devil and spirit, also the spirit, were all over him, he feels so weak, he feels so depressed that he couldn't pray. But he said, when he opened his mouth to pray, all of them disappeared. Perhaps that's the reason why sometimes when you want to pray, but it's as if something is pressing you. You want to pray, it's as if something is pressing you. But if you force yourself to pray, you discover that you are lightened. Or when your heart is so full of heaviness, the devil will be even telling you, don't come to church, don't go to church, stay in the house, be crying, stay in the house, God even likes you to cry, stay in the house and cry. But if you can force yourself and come to joy, you discover that those things will leave. Why? Because they can't stand in the presence of God. It's called the spirit of heaviness. Isaiah chapter 61 from verse 1 to 3, the Bible says something about this spirit. Isaiah chapter 61 from verse 1 to 3. The spirit of heaviness is one of the things that deny people of their joy. Isaiah chapter 61 from verse 1. The spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable years of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirits of heaviness, that they might be called a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The spirit of heaviness is what brings about brokenheartedness. When your heart is broken, the spirit of heaviness is there to complicate the matter. But somebody is listening to me. Tonight is the hand of oppression in your life in the name of Jesus. Can I hear a better amen? I say tonight is the end of oppression in your life in the name of Jesus. If there's anyone listening to me that your heart is filled with the spirit of heaviness today, I proclaim your liberty in the name of Jesus. If there's anyone that your joy has been tampered with today, you are being restored in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please clap your hands together for Jesus Christ.
Wow, I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. Appreciate you.